Dear friends, happy to be with you again today as we continue our discussions and address the opening of the second seal of the scroll sealed with seven seals. I invite you to read the text in Revelation chapter 6 from verse 3. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. This is a very aggressive messenger. Moreover, he receives a mission to take peace from the earth and that people should kill one another. Let me remind you that according to the chronology we have established in our initial discussions, these seals begin to open on the occasion of the judgment. We have also seen that this judgment began in the 19th century. While the events described here originated in the 19th century and will keep on until the end, what happens then? Is there anything new regarding wars in the 19th century? We can say that there has always been wars at all times. However, some pretty amazing things happened during this period. In particular, the improvement, if I may say so, of technology that allowed the construction of more and more awful and deadful weapons. But this is not the only reason for this start-up in the 19th century. There are other causes, and particularly industrialization, mechanization that allowed a single company to be able to produce for a very large amount of people, not to say the whole world. From that time on, when a company obtains the monopoly, it inevitably leads to conflict with all the others. Step by step, the effects of globalization are becoming more and more visible. Globalization in terms of production, globalization in terms of economy, globalization in many aspects. Let's have a look at what happened in reality. If Spain and Portugal established colonial empires in the late Middle Ages, in the 15th and 16th century, two other countries are now seeking to create colonial empires, specially aiming at finding new markets for their industrial productions and also to provide themselves with raw materials. We can start with the colony wars. In fact, France and England tried to establish colonial empires and wars began in the 19th century.
Ces guerres-là ont commencé au 19e siècle.
Germany, which did not really have a colonial empire, fought, and it is likely that at least one of the causes of the two world wars were the conquest of colonial empires. So, colonial wars, two world wars, and then at the end of World War II, the wars of decolonization came into sight. So, you see, a continuum of wars took place throughout all this period. Therefore, I can say that the one who received the mission, the rider whose mission is to take peace from the earth, has been very successful. But the question that comes up is, of what interest is that for God's people? In what context? Because we are in the context of the judgment, are these things of any interest for the judgment? So I would like to remind you of what we already spoke about the imprisonment, if I dare say so, of the Jewish people in Babylon. When the messengers return in Zechariah 1, saying that the earth is at rest and quiet, this is not good news. Not good news because the people remains captive in Babylon. And God will allow a war to break out between the Babylonians and the Medes and Persians as an occasion for the people to be freed, for the Hebrew people to be released and to return to Jerusalem and build the temple, to build this temple of the meeting. Of course, we can meet God anywhere in any circumstance. However, the temple was the symbol of an encounter with God. Therefore, it deserved to be rebuilt. It seems to me that we can make a comparison with the current time. The devoted people were struggling to respect all the rituals related to the temple. In the same way, a people held in slavery or a people in captivity cannot worship as freely as if they were free from any constraint. Therefore, war between nations may be somewhat allowed by God, without Him wishing it, of course, to give some people the chance to escape from a too very heavy supervision and to gain access to greater freedom. Freedom that can be used in many ways, but can also be used to serve God. In the same context, there is another war that can be mentioned and which I have not talked about so far, the American War of Succession. With its flow of bloodshed and tears, this civil war was instrumental for an entire black population on their way to freedom. Therefore, there is actually something positive for God's people. And not just that. Aren't there today many people of many ethnicities living in a state of dependence, submission, almost in a state of captivity, preventing them to serve God as they would like? I know that the goal of every leader in any particular country is to ensure the well-being of its people. However, well-being involves also the possibility of serving God as one understands it. Without dwelling further on this aspect, I just wanted to show that this was the fulfillment of a prophecy. And when the text tells us that it is to take peace away from the earth, even if there has always been wars at all times, a war that encompasses the globe, that is to say a world war, and the world experienced two. We had to wait for the 20th century to see it happen, World War I and World War II. Therefore, this prophecy found its fulfillment in the 20th century, although the causes already began in the 19th century. It is mentioned that people should kill one another, and a sword is given to this, let's say, messenger of difficulty. But the expression is not strong enough. So this messenger has a sword at his disposal. We can see in the sword a simple instrument of war, but the sword can have another meaning. In a spiritual sense, Jesus said, "I came to bring a sword upon the earth." Conflict between relatives, between neighbors, because if someone converts to the gospel, he becomes for those around him a source of criticism and reproach, even without uttering a word. And thereby, he or she becomes unintentionally a source of conflict. So, there lies therefore here a sword. There is a certain sequence between the first and the second seal, between this gospel and that is to be broadcast around the world, and consequences that can be an occasion not for peace building, as the gospel and the Christians would wish, but for war. If the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, so is war spread out to the ends of the earth. So, this is what happens in the second seal. We can see here a globalization. Globalization of the gospel, globalization of war. And now, we'll see what happens at the opening of the third seal. I invite you to read the following two verses in chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6.
Apocalypse 6, verses 5 and 6.
When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A cart of wheat for a denarius, and three carts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." Here is a curious third seal. The mission order is not clear. It is said, "Do not harm the oil and the wine." This, of course, assumes that damage is done to wheat and barley. What does it mean, a scale is given? In our cultures, a pair of scales is a symbol of judgment. We are in the judgment sequence, but in this particular case, it seems that these elements are to be taken at first level. And the balance is to be seen as a trade symbol and still in his context. Wheat, barley, oil and wine be understood as food. In this context, let me invite you to some readings. First, wheat and barley. Wheat and barley are cereals, and these are basic food. Basic food for men, basic food for animals as well. Now, besides these staples, you have with oil and wine, luxurious food. And indeed, not everyone can afford oil and not everyone can afford wine. Having said this, we may consider oil and wine from a different angle. I would like to share with you some possible understandings of these elements. So, let's first start with wheat and barley, staple foods. We are told, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. A quart is a little more than a liter. There are varying estimates, but let's say a little more than a liter. A denarius is 1 day's wage for a worker. We know that from the parable Jesus told in Matthew 20, the workers in the vineyard. When the generous master wanted to give the same denarius even to the laborer who came last at the end of the day. So, a denarius is a day's salary. Imagine that after a day of work, the worker receives a quart of wheat as wages. With all that he needs to feed himself, feed his family, provide clothing, clothe his family and provide housing for himself and his family. You will realize that there is not much left. Even if in the Middle East, heating is not much of a budget, nevertheless, this is still insufficient for food. It is of course quite evident we are not even talking about holidays in these circumstances. So, to say, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius is to declare incredibly expensive prices for a relatively poor population. What do we see nowadays? Within a year, we see grain prices double. So, to people for whom food represents only 1% of their budget, a 2% increase is quite manageable. But in most underdeveloped countries, food represents 85% of the budget. So, as the cereals double, people do not have enough to eat. That's what happened. You know that the current crisis started in 2008 with riots for food, because even people who worked didn't earn enough to feed themselves. The second point I want to emphasize on here is the arbitrariness of the price. Do you know that the price of grain is set at the Chicago Stock Exchange? In other words, people at a certain period, even if it is proposed to ban it now, have begun to speculate on food. What does this mean? This means that some people are rich enough to buy a share of world production, retain it, wait until people are hungry and the prices to go up, then sell at a better price. This is speculation. In recent years, there was no shortage of food. And what has driven up prices is neither a drought nor a manufacturing defect. It is speculation. Oh, when we'll come to the opening of the fourth seal, we will come across something even more terrible. But for now, it is the speculation that has driven prices up. And I want to tell you that I see in the opening of the third seal the expression of the current crisis. So, you could say there are many other things one could imagine. Maybe. But I think this fits well because oil and wine are not affected. The rich are not affected. There has never been as many billionaires in the world as today. There has never been so much poverty, and there has never been so much wealth. Do not harm the oil and the wine. We could also see in the oil and the wine therapeutic means. You know the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told. This stranger of the Jews who encounters an injured person on the road and who will heal him, he will treat with wine and oil. Wine contains ethanol, that is to say alcohol, which is a good disinfectant. Then fat is often used to heal. Even now, we still apply paraffin tools. In Jesus' story, the stranger applies oil. In other forms, it is the same treatment that is applied today. Do not harm the oil and the wine would mean do not hurt the therapeutic elements. And it is true that the therapeutic continues to develop today. I would like to draw your attention to something else. I told you about ethanol, alcohol, earlier. So ethanol should make you think of something else. Biofuel. What about oil? Don't we currently cultivate large surfaces of land to produce oil that will serve as biofuels? Allow me to read the text in the light of this last idea. A quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the biofuels. And currently, biofuels occupy a place on lands that were occupied before by food crops which allowed people to live. We have come to the stage of a strange world where to be able to drive one's car implies to prevent people from cultivating land that would provide their own livelihood. Do we want to go that far? Has our world come to such a degree of cruelty that we replace food crops in order to drive our cars? You see, what could be the beginning of a blessing from God? These discoveries, these techniques, men have turned into a curse. A curse. A system of oppression. So, on which side do we want to be? Are we going to participate in this oppression? Shall we continue to work in that direction? You do realize that the world, while receiving blessings from God, allowing many discoveries, vast amount of technologies that could be something extraordinary for humanity, has made it a system of oppression. What relationship with the judgment? The world is judging itself. It is exercising a judgment upon itself. We are indeed currently in the judgment. Each one of us should ask oneself, where am I? Is self-evaluation part of my everyday life?